I want to read a few passages of Scripture, and then we'll go to our text. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you the text, so you've already got it in your Bibles. Mark chapter 15. Turn to Mark chapter 15, but I want to read a couple passages, or verses, if you will. I won't scare you to death. First one I want to read is Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Then I want to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and read verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And then the book of Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." And then finally 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Do you see a theme in those four verses? That theme is this. Excuse me. God has always loved you and me. We have always been on his mind. Before he ever created the world, before he created the sun, the moon, before he ever even created man, us, he loved you and me. What a Savior. Amen. What a God. Now, as we get ready to observe the Lord's Supper tonight, what is the Lord's Supper? Well, it's an ordinance that the Lord gave his church to practice. Amen. And it being an ordinance, it is to remind you and I how much God does love us. Amen. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What am I supposed to remember, Pastor? You're supposed to remember what he did on the cross for you and I. Amen. We should always be mindful of that. I hate to say it, but we have become desensitized nowadays to the cross. And when I say that, I mean this. Yes, we wear our pendants, our crosses around our neck. Yes, we have them on the walls, and there's nothing wrong with that. But listen to me, it's more than a piece of jewelry. It's more than something you hang on the wall. You see, the cross, without it, you and I would go to hell. Had he not loved us and went to the cross, we're lost, and we're going to hell. I want to remind you this morning about the cross. You see, I want to speak to you just for a little bit about the man in the middle. Amen? The man in the middle. There's an old song, an old bluegrass song. And we used to sing it a lot back home in church. And the very first part started out like this. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary. And the one in the middle was Jesus, who died for you and me. Amen. So I want to speak to you about the man in the middle. So is everybody in Mark chapter 15? Let's be reminded of what Jesus did for us as we prepare to partake the Lord's table tonight. We want to be reminded. And is everybody, and I'm sure everybody here has read all four Gospels, and you've looked at what each one of the writers have said about Calvary and Christ being crucified. And I'll go ahead and say it. You can read all four Gospels, and it's limited, isn't it? It really doesn't. All four Gospels doesn't really give you a clear picture. We just kind of have a little glimpse of what happened that day. But they're more than enough if you'll get into the Word of God and search things. So, Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. And they bring him unto the place, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot say. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." One ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for this privilege, this honor you've given me, to be able to stand before your people, to open the bread of life, and to be able to share it, Father. I'm not worthy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me this honor. Father, now as I stand before your congregation, give me the words to say. Let me preach with boldness and authority those things you've laid on my heart. Lord, may our eyes and ears, hearts be open to receive your word. Lord, may we take these words to heart. Oh, Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, we do remember. Father, never let us forget that sacrifice and that price paid for our redemption. I thank you for loving me and saving my soul. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here amongst us in the sanctuary. And I just pray your spirit will move within this body. And folks will respond when the invitation is given. They need to. Bless your word, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to begin by reading verse 22 again. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And that word Golgotha is Hebrew, and that's what it means, the place of the skull. And what it is, there was a hill outside Jerusalem that the Romans had, and that is where they did all of their crucifixions. And believe me, it looks like a skull on the side of that hill. It is rock that's honed, and it does look like a skull. Now, there are others say, well, no, that's not why it's called Golgotha. It's called Golgotha because it's a place of death, the place of crucifixion. It doesn't matter what you believe. I know I can only tell you what I saw with my own eyes. I've seen it. I've got pictures of it. It looks like a skull. But the point I want to get across to you is they led him and two malefactors, two thieves, out to that hill, and there they crucified our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, notice what the next verse says. And they bring him unto the place called Golgotha, which being interpreted, the place of the skull, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now, I want to say that that is a prophecy that was fulfilled in the book of Psalms. In fact, it's Psalm 69:21. We won't go there for the sake of time, but it was fulfilled then. But notice they gave him what? Wine mixed with what? Myrrh. Do you know why they gave it? Some would say, well, they gave it to ease his pain. No, 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 no. Listen, these were Romans. They were cruel. They wanted to inflict as much pain as they could on those that were condemned to die by crucifixion. No, no, no. The reason they wanted to give him and those thieves that was it would calm them down as they nailed him to the cross. It was a narcotic. It eased the pain. But notice, our Savior did not receive any of it. No, no, no. He faced the wrath of God fully for you and I. He accepted dying on the cross for you and I. And he wasn't going to be drugged. Thank you, sister. That's not the word I was going to use, but it'll work. But listen to me. He rejected it. See, in my mind, I wasn't there to witness him being nailed to the cross or those others, but I'm sure they took the wine mingled with myrrh, and I'm sure they were drugged a little bit, but I'm also sure they were cursing and they were doing everything in their power to keep them from driving those 7-inch spikes or nails, if you will, into his hands, feet. But I want to tell you about my Savior. He never struggled. He never fought them. He never cursed. He never said anything like a lamb led to the slaughter. Not a word. Why? Because we were on his mind. I love the man in the middle. Amen. What an example. See, they offered it to him, but he refused. But listen to me. There wasn't no sympathy by those Roman soldiers that crucified our master. They didn't offer that to cut down on the pain and the suffering. No, it was for their benefit to keep them from struggling so they could get them nailed to the cross. Notice. And when they had crucified him, driving those nails to his hands and feet, they parted his garments, casting lot upon them what every man should take. Think about this. They nailed him to the cross. Again, we're looking at 7-inch spikes, nails, if you will. And after him being nailed to the cross, they stripped him of his garment. Now I want you to understand, when I say they stripped him of his garment, that was the custom. See, literally, it would have been bad enough to be hanging on a cross before all of those to see. But to add insult to injury, they wanted to humiliate them on the cross. So they stripped the garments off. They were naked, hanging there on the cross. And what drives me crazy is you would have thought that, you know, there would have been enough decency to have at least had them covered up. But no, 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 no. You got to realize man is depraved. Man is wicked. Man is sinful. And that's why Jesus had to come and die in the first place. Because we can be good. We can pay our bills. We can raise our families. We can be good to one another. But listen to me, we're still depraved, lost sinners in need of a Savior. So they cast lots. They gambled for his garment. By the way, that's another prophecy fulfilled. And they cast lots. And if you think about it, what that tells me is this. At the suffering of others, they were willing to extort them for money. Because the Romans didn't care. They were cruel. But before we point fingers at the Romans, me and you put him on that cross. Amen. We're just as guilty. Had we been there, we'd have been doing the same thing. Notice, they cast lots what every man should take. Whoever won the garments, what did they do? They sold them. They sold them. Notice it says, and it was the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. They crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. You see, what they did is they placed a sign on top of the cross in Latin, Greek, in Hebrew, that declared Jesus Christ King of the Jews. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes didn't like that. In fact, they went to Pilate and told Pilate, no, say that he says he's the King of the Jews. But God had another idea. You see, God wanted the whole world to understand that Jesus Christ is the King. Jesus Christ is God. Deity. And therefore that sign forever spoke of who he was. And he still is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And lost and saved are going to bow before him and confess he is Lord and King. Now, again, I can't help but think, you know, Pilate told the Jews, I don't find any fault in this man. But they just kept on and kept on. So he finally gave in and he wrung his hands and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. But no, he wasn't innocent. You see, he had the authority to let him go. But he didn't. did he? No, because after all, he had to let them know the reason he was being crucified. The reason he was being crucified was for insurrection against Pilate and Roman authority. But I can't help but think it was also his way of gigging the Pharisees, saying, oh, no, 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 no. He's your king. And by the way, that's true. Because Jesus is everybody's king. Whether we choose to worship him or recognize him or not, he's our king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, and with him they crucify two thieves. The one on his right hand and the other on his left. And I want you to understand, he's in the middle. Amen. A just, holy, sinless lamb or sacrifice. And on either side of him was what? Thieves. What do they picture? Us. Lost and undone. And that's the lot of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever come into the world. We are born sinners in need of a Savior. Here Christ is in the middle. Notice, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressions. Again, it was fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. And on that awful day, 2,000 years ago, the Word of God says, and they that passed by railed on him. And that word railed means they blasphemed against him. You see, there was a crowd there. And they railed on him. They blasphemed him. What they did was they talked evil about him. And the Bible says they wagged their heads, which showed such contempt as they went by him on the cross. And when the Bible says, and they passed by, it wasn't that they just passed by once, little glance and kept on going. No, 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 no. As they passed by, they would stop and they would blaspheme. They would revile him, and then they would move on, and then they would come back. And they would blaspheme him, revile him. And they did that several times, speaking evil of the Holy Son of God. And I want you to understand something this morning. A perfect, loving God came into the world for one reason, and that was so you and I could be reconciled to him through his atoning death by his blood, making atonement for our soul. And do you understand what happened on that day? The people there killed their God. Tell me man's not depraved. But the greatest thing that ever happened in history took place that day. And that was, yes, he died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. And because of his sacrifice and because of his resurrection, all of us who have placed our faith and trust in that which he did that day 2,000 years ago are saved. I never want to forget what he did for me. How about you? As we ponder and think about his sacrifice, tonight as we come together as a church body, We're to remember 2,000 years ago what took place. His death. His shed blood for the atonement of our soul. And His blessed resurrection and His promise to come and take us home to be with Him. And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, "Oh, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." And by the way, He wasn't talking about the literal temple. He was talking about His body. They had no clue. Notice, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." Let me tell you something. Had He wanted to come down from the cross, He could have. Listen, it would have been very easy. He was God. He could have called for legions of angels, 12, to come. But He stayed on the cross to purchase redemption for you and I because He loves us. Oh, save yourself. He could have saved Himself. But He stayed on the cross to fulfill the will of the Father. Likewise, also the chief priests, notice it said they were mocking, and said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save." Let me just say something about out of this group. Talked about those that passed by that railed on Him. Then it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes. You know who the worst ones were? It was that bunch we just read about, the Pharisees and the scribes, because they thought they were right with God. They thought they had shut up a blasphemer. They thought they were doing God's business when they didn't even know God. And there's people in the world today, they go to church, they claim they know about God, they claim they know God, but they don't know Him personally because they've never truly been saved. About a personal relationship. You can go to church every day for all of your entire life, but if you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to hell when you die. You may have your name on the church roll for years, but if it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hell. Listen, it's not religion that saves us. Personal relationship. He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. This is what kind of makes me chuckle, because it is an insult to the Lord. Those guys, "Oh, if only you'll come off that cross, we'll believe you are Christ of Israel. You're the King. Come off that cross. We'll see and believe." Liars. Listen, I'll tell you what they saw already with their own eyes. They saw Him go to a tomb and say, "Lazarus, come forth." A man that had been dead 4 days. Guess what? He came out of that tomb alive. And they witnessed that. And yet they still didn't believe. So again, it was mockery. It was blasphemy. "Oh, come off the cross. Descend from the cross that we may see and believe." Liars. And they that were crucified Him reviled Him. Even those thieves who were condemned to death justly, they committed crimes worthy of death, and they were paying for those crimes. Here they are, fixing to die, and what are they doing? The same thing. Reviling against Him, speaking blasphemy. But praise the Lord, one of them finally got smart. One of them had his eyes opened and said, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." You see, he kind of stood up for the Savior. The other thief continued to rail on the Master. And Jesus said, "Hey, today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." But even at the beginning, they also wouldn't believe. And they reviled on him. I guess the point I want to get across to us this morning is this. None of us have lived from that time. We may look like we're over 2,000 years old, some of us, but we weren't there physically. But I also want you to understand, we may not have been there physically, but every person that was there still represented you and I. So we were there technically, with our attitude. Amen? With our attitudes. You see, some of us pass by the opportunity to be saved time and time again because we say, "Well, it's a good story. There might be something to that salvation, but I just find it hard to believe." And you do nothing about receiving Christ. Others are just like the little priests, the scribes. "Oh, we're religious. We carry our Bibles. We quote scripture. We say prayers. When we're in the house of God, we look so righteous." But the point is, we don't even know. We only know about it. And therefore, we've yet to receive it. Hell is where we're headed. Still, there's others like those two thieves. Yes, we're all sinners. We all commit sin. But Jesus came to pay sin's ransom in full, sister, for us. But yet we choose that sin over our salvation. We'd rather sin and give in to the flesh and enjoy it for just a fleeting moment of time than to surrender and give our hearts to the Master so that we can be saved. So you see, we're all represented there on that mountain called Golgotha. I pray you, like the one thief, finally have had your eyes opened. You saw your need to be saved, and you trusted in what he did on the cross. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. From noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Beloved, he cried that prayer because you must understand, God in his holy and righteous character cannot look upon sin. You see, the sins of the entire world were placed upon Christ. Amen. All of our sins. And the Lord says, "And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calls Elias. One ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost." I want you to understand, because of the man in the middle, it was an agonizing, cruel death. But because of the man in the middle, I and you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, have had our sins forgiven. Not only have our sins been forgiven, He took God's judgment in our place. I don't ever have to worry about facing God's wrath and judgment because Jesus took it upon Himself to take it in my place and in your place. You see, because of the man in the middle, I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed. I don't have to worry about the judgment. I am going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Because of the man in the middle. Amen. That man. What a Savior. What a God. That is why we should always be mindful. We shouldn't be desensitized to it. Because without the cross, there is no redemption or salvation. That cross is more than a piece of wood you hang on a wall or a piece of jewelry you wear around your neck. That cross is the symbol of the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, paying the penalty for our sins, to redeem us and reconcile us to God. One other passage and I'm done. Notice it says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 real quick, I promise. I'm almost done. Isaiah 53. Give you a moment. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. We're talking about God the Father. And shall be what? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. But he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Listen, when Jesus Christ, that man in the middle on the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, he satisfied the righteous demands of God. When he died for us in our place, God said, I'm satisfied. Listen, he'll never have to die again on the cross for our sins, because once and for all, God says, what you've done, I'm satisfied. And because of his sacrifice, we can now be reconciled to God. You see, Jesus, the man in the middle, paid our sins. Paid it in full. It wasn't a pretty thing 2,000 years ago, what took place. But because of what took place, God said, that's good enough. And now, redemption and atonement has been provided and offered to all that'll receive it. I've often thought, and I'll close with this, I've often thought, 2,000 years ago when that took place, what did all the people think? I mean, in that time, what did the Romans think when they saw it become dark from noon to three? What did the Romans think and the people that were there on Golgotha to witness our Savior, the man in the middle's death, my crucifixion. What did they think? I mean, surely there were signs that this wasn't just somebody. This was something special. Do you know what the sad reality is? At that day, there in Rome, it was just a blip. Boop. But to you and I, all the countless others of thousands, maybe even millions, from that day forward, and even that day back, that have looked to that cross, Brother Dave, and accepted Him as our Savior, and received His sacrifice as payment in full for our sins, because it satisfied the holy demands of God, it's justice. Oh, it wasn't just a blip. It is a day that is the greatest event that has ever taken place besides His birth into the world and all of the history of the world. His birth, life, death, and resurrection. And beloved, listen to me. There's another great day coming. And that's when the trumpet sounds, my sister. And them old graveyards, all those that died in the Lord, you know what's going to happen? And just that quick, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there's going to be a change. And then we, if this is the generation, and Lord willing, I pray it is, and I'm still around, and you're still around, after the dead rise first, guess what? Then we're going to go up and be changed. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And here's the good part. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, that man in the middle died for you and me. And this morning, reading those passages about the foundation of the world before the world began, that's the love that God has for His children. He knew one day His Son would have to die. And He sent. So do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you come to the man in the middle and said, Savior, best I know how. I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for my sins. I ask for forgiveness for my sins, and I ask You to come into my heart and save me. If you prayed that prayer, I pray you have. But if not, you can do that. Maybe you've been saved for a while. But maybe the cross doesn't mean what it once did to you. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you. Because again, without the cross, we're lost. It is a symbol of God's love for you and I. Maybe you're here this morning, you just want to come and thank Him for His provision. I can't think of a better way to thank Him than just come up to the altar and say, Lord, I praise You. I worship You. I'm thankful for what You did for me. Again, three men on a mountain, up on a hill called Calvary. And the one in the middle was Jesus. And He died for you and me. I hope